Good afternoon. This is Marie McGahey coming to you live from Southeast Oklahoma. And this is Marie on the radio with What Does God Have to Say About That? We are sponsored today by Dancing with Bear Publishing at www.dancingwithbearpublishing.com and www.dwbchildrensline.com. We hope you'll stop by and check out our books. We have everything from picture books for the younger kids to adventures and mysteries for the older kids. We have some cookbooks for kids, and we've got some wonderful Christian study books and Christian living books and romance and mysteries and anything that you might want to read, with nothing that is going to embarrass anyone. And we are a Christian publishing company, so there's nothing untoward in any of our books. And we are also available on Kindle through Amazon.com. So stop by one of our websites and check out our books. And I would like to welcome everyone here today, and I hope that y'all are having some nice, beautiful spring weather wherever you are. And I would also like to say hello to all of the congregation at New Life Church in Antlers, Oklahoma. And that's my home church. And just want to give a shout out to pastors Jerry and Carol Vickers, who are wonderful people. And I just love the church there and love the whole congregation and everything else. And would like to invite you, if you're in Antlers, to come on over to New Life Apostolic Church over on 4th Street over by the cemetery, and come visit us at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. I think you'll enjoy it. We have Sunday school classes for the kids, and we have wonderful praise and worship and powerful sermons by Pastor Vickers. And I think you'll not only learn something, you will have a good time, and you'll meet some really great people and make some new friends. So stop by Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And today I wanted to talk to you about a few things. Last week we talked about the importance of being a Christian. We talked about how to become a Christian. And then what next? What happens after you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are a Christian? What do you do now? Well, the first thing that I want to suggest is that you get a Bible. And you don't have to get the King James Version, which is difficult to understand and to read. I personally like the New King James Version, and I also like the New Living Testament. But there's a lot of different versions out there, and versions doesn't mean that the Bible is changed. What it means is the language that is used is updated to more modern tone and makes it easier to understand. But get a study Bible, because this has commentaries and footnotes and explanations and references back and forth. And there's in the back of the Bible, there will be a concordance and how to find particular verses and passages that you like to read, and help you understand the Bible more fully. And if you're new to the Bible and you're new to church and you're new to Christianity, that's what you want to have, is something that'll help you understand more. And start with the book of John. That's in the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with John chapter 1 and read through that. And the reason we say that is because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are three different accounts that begin with the birth and the life and the death of Jesus. But the book of John is unique, although it does also deal with the birth, life, and death of Jesus. It begins back in the beginning of, and tells John is actually a cousin of Jesus's, and John is also called John the Baptist, and he is the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And his perspective is just a bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we always suggest that you start with the book of John and read it and study it. And what studying the Bible means, I mean, when you pick up a book, you just read from front to back, and you're done. In the Bible, you will see the columns on the left and the right of the verses, and in a study Bible, the bottom half of the page will have commentary by Bible scholars, and down the center between the verses, there will be different verses that relate to the verses you're reading all through the Bible, so you can go back and forth and to different books of the Bible and to get a fuller understanding of the verses you are reading. And that is what studying the Bible means. It doesn't mean just sit down and read from front to back and you're done. This is something you need to read every day, and you don't have to read the whole Bible in one sitting or in a few days like you do reading a regular book. The Bible is meant to be read over and over and to be studied, and to use the concordance in the back or get a Strong's Concordance. The Strong's Concordance is one of the best Bible concordance written, Bible commentary. It tells you the Hebrew and the Greek meanings of each word in the Bible. It has every word in the Bible and where to locate it. And it has in the back, it also has maps and explanations of how the country was then compared to the same areas today and how the names have changed. And there's a lot of different books you can buy that will help you to understand the Bible more fully. But I definitely recommend Strong's Concordance and a study Bible. And those are the two things to get you started. There's also, if you have a Lifeway store near you or Lifeway, you can Google Lifeway, and they have a lot of books and study manuals that will help you to further your walk with Jesus. And I recommend that once you get into church and you get a little more familiar with what you're doing, and you'll find that the Holy Spirit will give you the desire to learn more about Jesus and will teach you more. And as you go, the Holy Spirit will give you more understanding of what you are reading in the Bible and how to apply it to your own life. And last week we were talking about how to apply the Bible and how to use the Bible in your life. And so one of the things that I have been asked is about expectations and how people in church are going to view you if you just come into a church and you're a new Christian. Well, I can almost guarantee that if you go into a good Bible believing church, you're going to be welcomed with open arms. And know that when you look at these people, no matter what their age is, and they, you will probably think like I did when I was a young Christian, and I was like 18, and I went to a church, and this was up in Oregon, and the church I went to there, everyone was very concerned about the way you dressed, and that you had to have a certain type of clothing. And I didn't have that kind of clothing. I was young. I did not know, you know, I had been into church when I was a kid, and you wear a dress. But this was a church that was kind of an upper class type of church, and I was really uncomfortable there. And if you go into a church and you find that, go to another church. There's churches out there for everyone. But you'll know after you sit through a service that this is the church or this is not the church for you. But if people are judging you by the way you dress, or if they're judging you at all, and they don't welcome you with open arms, then that's not the church for you. I know if you walk into the church I go to at New Life, you will be welcomed with open arms. People will introduce themselves to you and will just bring you in, and you will feel the way I did when I first started going there, is that this is family. This is my Christian family, and I love each and every one of them there. And I'm old now, and remembering everybody's names is a little difficult for me, but I know their faces when I see them, so I'm able to greet them and hug them and shake their hands and tell them how happy I am to see them each week, because I am happy to see them each week. And I sit in every, you'll find in church also that everyone has their own particular pew and their own spot in that pew. And behind me, where I sit every week, behind me are sisters, Miss Patsy and Miss Marcy. And Miss Althea sits at the other end of the same row with those two. And I talk to them. They're elderly ladies, and they're just as sweet as can be. And I just love talking to them. And so I remember their names because of their proximity to me. And we're kind of a loud and boisterous church. And I have my little banner that I wave during praise and worship. And we have a really good time there. And worship time is to just express yourself and your love for the Lord, and to sing and lift your voice. And now I do not have a singing voice, but the Bible doesn't say sing in tune. It says make a joyful noise. And my noise is joyful, even if it is not in tune. So go to a church and check out a few churches. And I like independent churches or Pentecostal churches. The independent Pentecostal church like New Life, and in California and Eureka, where I am from, the church there is Redwood Christian Center with Pastors Dewey and Mita Davis. And it reminds me so much of the church here reminds me of the church there. And I have two home churches. And when I go to Eureka to visit kids and grandkids, I love to go by and visit Mita and Dewey. And if I'm there on a weekend, I like to get in a service there too. It's always like going home, like going back to mom and dad's house. And that's how it is with Mita and Dewey. And I really enjoy having found a church here in Southeast Oklahoma that is, reminds me so much of that, and is a blessing to be a member of that church. So find a good church, study Bible, and a good church. That's your first steps. And you will grow in the Lord from there. And the Holy Spirit will lead you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you, and the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. And that's where you want to be, is in a place of understanding what you're reading, and a place of growth. And the first year as a Christian, that's what you should be doing. That first year, sit under a good pastor, reading your Bible, studying and growing in the Word of the Lord. After that, the Lord will direct you into, if you're to be a Sunday school teacher, in whatever kind of helpful situation you might have a liking for, or that you might be directed to by the Lord. There's a lot of ministries out there, and there's some place for everybody. And don't worry about that. You'll see these people who have been sitting in church for many, many, many years and think, oh, they couldn't have done a single thing wrong in their life. My life is so much worse than theirs, they would never understand. Well, I will tell you, sin is sin. And it doesn't make any difference if you've never sinned as far as breaking the Ten Commandments, or you've never done anything wrong according to worldly standards. You might be the best person in the world, but if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not a Christian. And that is what sends you to hell, is not accepting Christ as your Savior. So once you accept Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven, just like everybody else in that church's. And believe me, my sins have been great. I look around my church, and I know that there's no one in that church that has been the places I have been, have done the things I have done, or been subjected to the things I've been subjected to. But they accept me and love me because I'm a born-again, saved child of the Most High King. I am a princess. I am child of the King and a daughter of the King, and just like them. And that's what you are the minute that you accept Christ as your Savior. And that is the most important thing. Not to worry about what you've done, not to worry about what people are going to think if they know what you've done. You don't have to explain yourself to anyone in church. You don't have to stand up and confess everything you've ever done. The only thing you have to do is go to church and praise the Lord, worship the Lord, participate in the service. And once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that's all people need to know about you. Amazing grace. Like the song says, amazing grace. It's for all of us. I was once blind, and now I see. And that's our sin. We are blind when we're in sin, and once we accept Christ as our Savior, we can see. That's the awesome thing about being a Christian, is that once our sins are forgotten, we don't have to sit around and worry about them. We don't have to remember them. We don't have to talk about them. They're gone. The Bible says the Lord throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. How cool is that? That God does not remember our sins. Once we've asked His Son to be our Savior, God forgets every bad thing we've ever done, and all He sees is a saint robed in white. And that's what we are. We are saints of God. We are His children. We are adopted into Christ's family. We are adopted children of God. We are brothers and sisters with the full, just like here on earth, when we adopt a child, they have all of the rights and privileges of natural born children. And that's what we are, because Jesus Christ is a natural born son of God. His mother was Mary, who was a woman like, and a human being like all of us, and she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ, and she was in the line of David, and she became Jesus's mother, she was married to Joseph. After she had Jesus, she went on to be a normal wife and mother and had other children, and her and Joseph had a marriage like any other marriage. Mary is not above women. The Bible does not say, Mary, you are above all women. It said, among women. Blessed are you among women. She was just the chosen woman, the chosen vessel to deliver Jesus Christ on this earth. And so He is a natural born child of God. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and became pregnant with Jesus. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are adopted into the family of God. And we are co-heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we have all the fullness of God in us as Jesus does. And we are entitled to all of the things of heaven just like Jesus is. We don't have to worry about bills and clothing and food and shelter and gas in the car and disease in our body, or any of those things that we worry about in the world, because all of that stuff is given to us by the glory of God. We are entitled to those things, just like any child born into any family. When you were born on this earth, you were born into a family that fed you and clothed you and taught you and sent you to school and did the things that parents do for you. Now imagine how much more we have coming as being an adopted child of the Most High King, King Jesus, and being a child of God the same way that Jesus is a child of God. We have that inheritance. We have that covering that comes down from heavens, the windows of heaven that open up and pour out on us all the blessings of heaven because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. How awesome is that? Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. And He has provided everything for us that we could possibly want or need in our bodies and in our lives. And we're going to get into another part of becoming a Christian, and that's tithing. Now, there's a lot of opinions on tithing, and tithing means to give a tenth. And you'll see it from the Old Testament, from the beginning of when Adam and Eve were out of the garden and Cain and Abel were, one was a farmer and the other one was a keeper of animals, and that they were to give a tenth of their first fruits, which was mean the very first, the newborn animals and the very first fruits that were picked from the vine or harvested from the fields, a tenth of that went to the altar to God. And so today we do tithing with our money. And there's a lot of people who say tithing is Old Testament, but Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. So that means pay your taxes and pay your tithes. And all of the Bible says all of the gold and silver, all of the money, everything on this earth belongs to God anyway. It's not ours. We're borrowing it. We're using it while we're here because it's our Father's. And we are only to give back a tenth of that. So we use our money and we give a tenth of the first fruits, which is before you pay your bills or buy your groceries or anything else, you give a tenth of that to the church, to God. And there's people, I have heard people say that tithing, we don't tithe anymore, but Jesus says to give to God what is God's, and a tenth of everything we have, we give to God, a tenth of our money. And that money goes to the church to provide for the pastor. It provides for the different ministries in the church, which is from Sunday schools to missionaries, to outreach programs, to homeless programs, to whatever else the church is doing. That is what the money goes to. And the Bible tells us that we are to support our pastors and our preachers, that they should not have to have another job to support themselves, because that takes away their time that they need to study the word and to prepare their sermons each week. And we are to support our churches, so we support our pastors. And I tithe. As soon as money comes in, a tenth of that goes into the offering at church. And I feel wonderful because I know that everything, I cannot outgive God. Everything I give to God, God gives back multi times over. There's no way to outgive God. God has given me life and breath and a home and a family and a husband who is wonderful. And God just keeps pouring out his blessings on my body. I've got a lot of things that have gone wrong. I was born with a bone disease and it has ravaged my bones and my joints. I've had 3 hip surgeries and a neck surgery, and I have spinal stenosis and cracked discs and bulging discs, and I mean, the list just goes on and on. And yes, I am in pain. I'm getting older, and with old age, the body breaks down. So on top of that, the bone disease, I also have old age setting in. I have rheumatoid arthritis and other things. But praise God, I'm not in a wheelchair, and I was before. I was in a wheelchair for a year, and I'm upright. I'm confined to a bed. Praise God for that. The doctors wanted to put rods along each side of my spine, which would be a very long surgery, which would have a year minimum recovery, and then there would be 1 to 2 years of physical therapy, learning how to walk again. And that was simply no, 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 no. That did not even sound like something I wanted to attempt. And so I have managed to continue just to pray and be prayed for. And God hears those prayers, and I don't have to worry. The Bible tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble for itself. To just do what you got to do for today. And then in the morning, God's mercies are new every morning. Wake up in the morning with new mercy, new blessings, a new day, and I get through that day, and I go to sleep at night. And then I wake up the next day because God's mercies are new that day. God's mercies are due new every single day of the week. And I don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to be in pain tomorrow. What's tomorrow going to be like? Well, I don't have time to worry about tomorrow because I've got today. And God's mercies were new this morning. Praise God. And I have my animals to take care of. I have a house to take care of. I have grandchildren who come and spend every Saturday night with me, and we go to church together on Sunday mornings. And that is enough for each day. And let today worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God's going to take care of you one day at a time. He's not going to forget about you. He's not going to just go on about his business and say, oh, so-and-so over here needs me more than Marie McGahey does. No, Marie McGahey needs the Lord. Marie McGahey needs his blessings. Marie McGahey needs his mercies. And he knows that. And Marie McGahey needs him to touch her body every single day so that she can do the things he has for her to do today. So I don't worry about tomorrow, what Marie McGahey is going to do tomorrow. I don't even have to worry about today. I just have to be here today. And I just have to be in where the Lord wants me to be today. That's all there is, today. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We don't have to know what tomorrow is going to hold, because God knows. God knows tomorrow. God knows every minute, every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of our life. He knows how many hairs grow on our head. Imagine that. I can't count that high, but God knows every hair on my head. God knows every minute, every breath in my body, every cell. He created me. So why would I have to worry? When I gave birth to my children, my babies didn't have to worry, is mama going to feed me today? They knew. They didn't even know. Babies, newborns don't have to know anything. They know they're hungry, and they know they get fed. And that's their life. And what mother would not feed that newborn? And that's how God is to us. We're his newborn creations. Why would he not feed us? Why would he not care for us? He created us. He made us in his image. He's our Father, God. He is our creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all that there is, all that there ever was, and all that there ever will be. God is our creator. God is our master. God is the one who took, he's the potter. We are the clay. He molds us, he makes us, he shapes us, he gave us life, he gave us breath, he filled us with his very own spirit. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, when he was just a lump of dirt, God formed him, God made him, and then he took his own breath, and he breathed life into Adam. He gave him his own spirit. Spirit, his own breath, his own life. So how can we not know God will take care of every one of our needs as long as we give our lives back over to him where they came from in the first place? How awesome is that? And the Bible tells us that God does not want a single one of us to go to hell. He wants each and every one of us to be in heaven with him. He loves us that much that he is willing to forgive anything and everything we have ever done. It doesn't matter how many times you have broken every one of the Ten Commandments. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's all forgotten, and it's a brand new slate. It's a brand new day. You're a born-again child of God, and you have all of the rights to claim the blessings of heaven and to have those blessings in your life, in your marriage, with your children, on your body, in your home, in your job, in everything that you do. God's blessings are just there for the taking. He withholds no good things from those he loves. And once you accept Jesus as your Savior, he loves you so much. He will pour out those blessings in amounts that you cannot even imagine. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He pours it out from heaven on us, on our bodies, on our lives. He will get our children in line. He will get our grandchildren in line. He will bless our families. He will get our bodies in line with His Word. He will get our hearts and our spirits in line with His Word. He will give us everything that we desire. The desires of our hearts will be in His hands. And I can't imagine anyone not wanting to reach out and grab that and not suffer through the things of this world. The things that go wrong in the world are for a lack of understanding of the Word of God. Once everybody was to, if everyone was to bow before the King of Kings and accept Christ as their Savior, they would also have those blessings and this world would change. There would be no war. There would be no poverty. There would be no sickness. There would be none of this terrible, dirty, nasty stuff that goes on in the streets and the gutters of life. That would all cease to exist. And this world would be as it was in the days of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's what we would have on earth today. The pollution would disappear. The waters would clear. The heavens would clear. The air, the earth, everything would be in God's control once again. When Satan fell and a third of the angels came with him, they became demons, and this is their realm. Earth is their realm. And Satan offers horrible, horrible, horrible things that he makes them look good. He makes sin look good. He makes sin feel good. I mean, if it doesn't look good and feel good, you wouldn't do it, would you? But all of the things that are against God, those are the things of Satan, and those are the things he wants you to revel in, and he wants you to have, and he wants you to be lost in that worldly place where sin feels and looks and sounds good. And it is fun for a season. But anyone who has ever been in a world of sin knows that it drags you down farther and farther, and you lose yourself in that, and you become someone you don't recognize, and you hurt the people you claim to love, but the one you're really hurting is yourself, and you wind up broke, and you wind up alone, and you wind up with nothing, and you wind up with children who don't want to be around you. And you miss out on so much of the good things in life. And then when you're looking back on 20 or 30 years of living that way, and you wonder what was wrong with you, and you wonder why you missed all of that. Because when you're 20 looking at 40, those 20 years are a long ways away. But when you're 40 looking back at 20, it was the blink of an eye. That is what our life is on earth. It's a blink and it's over. But if we come to a place, and it doesn't matter if you do it when you're 20 or 40 or 80, whatever age you are right now is the perfect age to say no more. No more, Satan. I'm giving my life over to the Most High God. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord God, forgive me of my sins. Lord, let your Spirit reside within me. Live in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I turn from my sins right now and I give my life over to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus. Give that life, your problems into the hands of Jesus and let him make sense out of it. We can't make sense out of life because we can see such limited areas. We can't see past our own nose because life isn't known to us. We live in every minute. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or tonight or in the morning. But God does. And we have to let ourselves just let go. Just let go of everything that is haunting you. Let go of every filthy deed. Let go of every lie. Let go of everything that the devil would tell you is good for you. Let it go. And let God be the one who rules your life. Quit letting the devil rule it. Let God, the maker of the heavens and the universe, let God rule. Let God have your life, and He will not hurt you. He will not do one single thing that's going to hurt you. He will restore you to the person you're supposed to be. He will restore your life to the way He wanted it to be in the first place. He will restore your family, your marriage, your children, your jobs, your finances. There is nothing that God cannot fix. We can't fix it in our own selves. If we could, the divorce rate wouldn't be 55%. There wouldn't be kids in foster care. There wouldn't be kids put up for adoption. There would be no abortions. There would be no children dying of poverty and for lack of food. There would be none of this. There would be no drug addicts. There would be no babies born addicted to drugs. None of that would exist. Can you imagine? Can you even comprehend one single minute where none of that exists? When you give your life and your heart and your mind and your body and your family and your marriage and your children over to God, you will see changes that you never knew were possible. You will feel peace that surpasses understanding. There will be nothing in your way that you cannot go over or around or just flat move. You will be blessed with the riches and the glories that come out of heaven itself. God will not leave nor forsake you. All you have to do is take that first step and say, I can't do this, God. I can't. I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need your help, and I need your love above all. And once you do that, you will see your life begin to change. You will feel your heart change. You'll feel your mind change. You'll see the changes in life. And it's not that the devil's going to let go right away. You got to tell him, let me go. I'm a child of the Most High God. You have no control here. Be gone, and he will leave. But there's going to be obstacles. This is life. Life's full of obstacles. And we have to make decisions about how we're going to handle those obstacles. When somebody is mad at you, your wife or your husband, and there's an argument ensuing, you have the ability to either escalate that argument or stop it in its tracks. Learning how to stop something in the name of Jesus is an easy thing to do. Whether you have to bite your tongue, bite your lip, put your hand over your mouth, or walk out of the room and shut the door, you had the choice of how you're going to handle that situation. And it's same with your children. If your children are disobedient and being mouthy, you have the decision of how you're going to handle your children. Handle them the way God handles you. Somebody told me once that if you want your adult children to be saved, treat them as if they are. Treat them as if they are already saved. Don't treat them like beating them over the head with the Bible. Treat them as if they've already accepted Christ as their Savior, and then they will start acting the way they are treated. And that goes for your little kids, too. Begin as you plan to end. Begin your children. Train them up in the way train them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it when they are old. Got my tongue twisted there. And that is the truth. If you raise your children with manners, you raise your children with respect, you raise your children to give respect, and you raise your children knowing the Lord. Even when they hit those rebellious years, even after they move out, they go to college, or they get married, or whatever they do, if you have trained them in the way they should go, even as adults, they will come back to that what is right, because they know that is the way they should be. That is giving that. Last week we talked about that God-shaped hole inside of us. everyone has a God-shaped hole. And as we grow older, and even if we're raised in church, sometimes we want to experience the things of the world. But that God-shaped hole is always right there, reminding us the only thing that fills it is God. And no matter what we try to fit inside of it, it's not going to fit completely, and it's not going to fill up all the little edges, and it's not going to be anything that makes us feel good. We might feel good for a while, but that's going to end. What we have to do is fill the God-shaped hole with God. And we have to teach our children from the time they're small that that's what goes in that God-shaped hole. So that even after they step out on their own, if they make mistakes, they will always come back to the place that they know belongs inside of them. And that is the Word of God. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what church you were raised in. If you've never seen a church, if you've never heard the Word of God, it doesn't make any difference. God is still there. You still have a God-shaped hole, and God is still calling you. And if you feel that call upon your heart, God will initiate it. And sometimes it's a still small voice. With me, it was when I was listening to the Word of God in church one day. It was like I could feel this pounding, like my heart was going to pound out of my chest. That if I didn't just say the words, I started crying, and I was just like, there's something going on inside of me, and I wasn't sure what it was. But when I went to the altar and I told the pastor how I felt, and he explained to me that that was God knocking, that was God calling me to him. And I said this prayer, and that's all you've got to say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that you belong inside of my heart, and I ask you to live there. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to teach me and to lead me, Lord, in the life that you would have me to live. And I thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all it takes. What was that, 5 seconds or less? It doesn't take very long to ask Jesus to be your Savior. It's a few seconds that lead you the rest of your life through earth, and it's going to lead you home to heaven. It's going to bless you the rest of your life. It's going to bless those around you, and you are going to become a blessing to those that you know, and you are going to become a blessing to everyone who meets you. So don't delay. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That means that, yes, we will die on this earth, but just our body. We will then go on to live in heaven and see our Savior face to face. I cannot imagine what that is going to be like. I cannot imagine what I would say to Jesus face to face. And like the song says, will I dance before you, Jesus? Or will I fall on my knees? I don't know. I can't imagine I'll be able to speak. I imagine I'll be flat on my face, probably crying, rejoicing, praising God forever. I can't imagine heaven, being there, seeing those who have gone before me, like my grandmother, the children and the grandchildren who have passed away, that went to heaven, and I know where they are. And I look forward to that. It's going to be not just a reunion, a family reunion, but it's going to put me face to face with my Maker, face to face with my Lord and Savior. And I look forward to that day. I pray for that day. I can't wait for that day to leave this decrepit body behind and to go on to my reward in heaven. That is what I pray for. That is what I wait for. That is why I do this show, because I don't want anyone to perish forever and to go to hell. I want everyone who hears the sound of my voice to be able to make that choice for Jesus. Thank you all for being here today. My time is up right now, but I wanna thank you. And if you have any questions, if you've said that prayer, please let me know, and I have a free book I'll send you. My email is marieontheradio@gmail.com, so please drop me a line. And thank you all for listening, and until next week, God bless you, God loves you, and so do I. Bye-bye.